Satsang with Maitreya, May 26, 2001.
Tonight, seeing you in a satsang, you have seen everything in the mission and the every capacity that I work in the mission. Some this afternoon, after the Sabbath gathering meeting, that is where I see that the job. I talked to you in the library. I'm your friend. I talk to you, you know, upstairs together. I'm your confidant. And I sit in this chair up here. Okay. It is the time of satsang. It's the time of the Spirit of God to come to earth in full capacity. So, when we use satsang here, I'm sitting in this chair. Me and the Father are really one. Okay. And that is where the questions come. I answer this question up here when His Spirit completely comes through. Okay. What did God also see? Satsang, how it's performed, and what that means that really God is giving you your answer in complete perfection. And so you can see that it goes very well with the different colors you see in the website, in my picture, edited. There's so many different capacities. Of course, all of us are like this. You know, we act as a student, we act as sons or daughters, we act as, you know, a worker, we act as a different capacity as in our lives. So we act as a mother, we act as a child. So every time you act, you have a different kind of energy or feeling where you are at. Okay. So it's the same thing with God and His revelation. That's why Christians have such a hard time to explain what's the difference between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They have been discussing it for 2,000 years. Why? How can the Son and the Father be one? And what is the Holy Ghost doing in it? Our Father and Son. Okay. We can see that He explained it very well here. That the Father is in the Spirit. Our God is the Spirit. And he can't just come in and talk to everyone. Because we are not connected to God. He cannot. That mystery grows into the world. So He had to choose a body to come to humanity. And in order to do that, what does He do? He prophesies. For hundreds of thousands of years that such a being is going to come. Okay? So that Christ comes, Muhammad comes, Bob comes. Okay? And then that person comes and fulfills the prophecy. God, of course, comes through that body. So Father and Son are what? Become one. And the Holy Ghost, of course, is the Spirit that comes through that person and is full of grace and knowledge. And then, so we can see all three can be one at the same time, they're separate, they're different. And when I'm not here sitting down there, you know, I probably am also a man, a regular man that does the regular thing every man do. They eat, they sleep, walk, hug, whatever. And there, but at the same time, as Christ said, one time He said, I am the truth, no one goes to the Father but through me. And another time, somebody called Him Rabbi and rebuked Him. Why are you good, Rabbi? Why did you call Him good? The only thing that's good is God. Said, what happened? You just told us that you are the only way, and now we call you good. You suddenly, you know, don't accept Him and be called good. Because in that capacity, that feeling of being connected, He was with the Father, and He is the way. There is no other way but Him. For Him, other way as a man, He is just a man. Just like a yes, and He's not good. Only thing that's good is God. That's why it's called God. God is good. So now, here we are here, and God is with us. And we go to the questions, see what's asked.
What is the best way to maintain constant meditation on the mantra?
Well, your mantra is your secret kind of God and the energy that invokes in you that you probably realize it for the first time in your life when you get initiated. You will be with it from then on. That's not going to leave you. It's a part of God's, you know, energy in you that constantly moves, and you know by hearing it within yourself and becoming more and more familiar with it. And when you meditate, the mantra and the whole thing is to realize that stillness and movement in your meditation. So you start repeating your mantra and going through the process and realizing that movement. And after a while, after you realize the movement, you don't have even to repeat the mantra anymore, but listen to the movement within yourself. You can even do it in the universal mantra. That's why universal mantra is given to everyone. When you read in Hari Om Shri Hum, you realize the pause or stillness between breathing in, you will feel an energy release from the lower chakra to the higher chakra, and that energy release is the one that you have to realize is within you and is in you and is always with you. It's never going to leave you. And when you breathe out Om Nam Kevalam, again you relax stillness from Om Nam Kevalam, breathing out and breathing in, and you realize the energy release really comes to the higher chakra and goes to your body and your brain. Okay. That movement eventually you should become one with. Okay. So after a while you don't have to repeat the mantra anymore. No, you can hear the movement going on. So you can be with God while you're doing your job, and you're studying, and you're talking, and you're reading, and you're working, and you're talking, and when you're talking, and when you're waking asleep from the sleep, when you know that God is still with me. He has never left me. Oh, I left him, I fall asleep, I forgot about it. But you know that people who got in the world and they become so attached and worldly, they don't realize God and they don't feel God. You know, have you ever seen somebody cry, "Where are you, God?" You know, you have the option. Say, "I know where God is." Like, listen, oh, there he is. He is with me. He never left me. Okay, so God never leaves you. He can't. How can he? He is us. He is one of us. There is no separation. Us and God. The only separation is our illusion, separation which is Maya. Okay? That is what really Maya means, is to have the illusion of separation. The illusion is what? Illusion is really not true. Okay? Illusion means that we are deluded in an illusion of separation, but separation really doesn't exist. Okay? I in every of us is the same as the universal mind and God, so he cannot be far away. So the people who cry, "Where are you, God? Why are you, you know, why you're not with me?" In that moment, at least they have forgotten that they are one with God. And a lot of people don't know they are one with God. A lot of people know that God is within them. Even Bible says, "You are in the image of God." What does that mean? What's the image? It means likeness. So we have all the capacity and likeness of God within us. Now, how can we hear that sound and vibration more and stronger and meditate all the time? Okay. That is what all the purification and purifying things are given to you through the mission. Okay. All the meditation, satsang, service, your diet. Okay. So we recommend sattvic diet, means, you know, but you don't, we are not dogmatic about it. You know, we don't say, you know, become a yogi, go to the mountain and eat bird food. No, we say a balance. Balance is the best way to go. eat a lot of vegetables and sattvic food.
You crave meat once in a while.
It's okay. It's not a sin to eat meat or, you know, not eat sattvic food all the time. But be aware of how it affects you. Okay. Some people cannot even eat meat. They have some members here.
So after a while, the movement that you feel in the meditation is with you all the time. But of course, if you are turned around, you are baptized, you are going toward God. What baptism means turned around. Okay. As well as going to the world, can you hear that energy? Can you feel the movement? Can you see God is with you? No, you can't. That's why some people come and get initiated and they leave, or, you know, they go to the world and the world gets them, just like I said, you know. This world is like, a, you know, some of them fall in the stone, some of them fall in the bush, some of them fall in the, you know, road, and people walk over and destroy it. Some of them fall in the good, solid ground and they give fruit. Giving fruit is the most important. I have an experience. Not thinking you are the big teacher in the world and sit up there and have a big ego. Giving fruits. If you don't give fruits, have you kept the word? Is the word has rooted in you? You can see that the giving fruits is the greatest, you know, spiritual, you know, achievement. So, as for I think towards God, that energy, that movement becomes stronger, more powerful, and one day you are sitting there, you hear such a strong movement of the mantra and that energy that you have no doubt who is with you. You know, it's God. Okay. You are one with Him. The more you go toward God, how do you go more toward God? The more you do the mission, the more you turn around the world and go toward what God, you know, have chosen you to do. You know, we have all been called here, okay? If nobody's here who hasn't been called. If you haven't been called, after a while you're going to fall off the mission and go away, or doesn't fit anymore, or, you know, all that. So if you are here and you got stuck with it and you're sitting with it and you have a church, you have been called. So better the sooner you turn around from the world and come to the mission, the more and the stronger you become in the world. And that movement is very steady. It's very powerful, and that energy doesn't let you go too high, doesn't let you go too down. Unless, of course, this is the world gets you, then go down. And suddenly you don't feel bad, you don't feel meditation, you don't feel energy, you don't feel mission, you know, and you go away, and of course you're completely, you fall into the Maya. And so everything that is needed, that's what I said many times, mission is a package. Okay. It is not, I like it, but I don't like that part. You know. I like my Maitreya, but I don't like the teaching. I like the teaching, but I don't like my Maitreya. Well, I like to do the Rimadha, but I don't like to do the Sangha or the Harim Shari Han or Nam Kedavan. It's just a whole package that is, it is a lifestyle. Okay? You know? I have a Persian lifestyle when I came here, and you guys have American lifestyle. A lifestyle is different, that's not life, it is two different cultures. But here, this lifestyle is neither Persian nor American. It is God, lifestyle. Okay? Even in this we unify. Because what they're modeling, we're the same culture. Our culture is culture of God. Okay? And then if all of us follow the culture of God, will we become one? Of course we will. There's beauty in every culture. And just like a beautiful flower, it's more beautiful, it's a bouquet, many flowers in it than from one flower only. And so is our teaching and unification of our religion. Taking God from different religions and putting together as a bouquet. Yeah, you know, we can see that together, being put together all along. Just God sending it with us. You can see, again, as more we turn around, the more we do this,
vision, the more we realize we are universalists and we belong to the universe, we both are man and woman, we have both energy in ourselves, we are here, you know, because we are God's children. That's why, you know, when people ask me, where are you from? And I usually tell them, I'm from God, where are you from? And they say, I'm from God too. I say, okay, see, we are from the same place. You know, there's no difference. And that's what exactly we are from. We're all from God, and we are the children. Then we are one. And all these little gems, we have to become one with it. Okay? It's not something intellectually understood, but, you know, spiritually being here. And after a while, the more people feel like that, is people going to look as a, you know, you are from that culture and that religion, I'm from this culture and that religion, so it's okay for me to kill you or be opposed to you. And this guy says, no, I'm not going to let you, and you know, they're going to become, you know, opposed to these people, and they're going to say, well, they can't. That's what the hope is. Eventually, mission is point. Teach humanity this thing, you know. Make them to the God within each other. Instead of looking at, oh, this person is from this culture, has this religion, so it's different than me. His consciousness is low down there somewhere, okay? And the lower the conscious, the more confidence is going to be there, okay? The more separation you see them from each other. So all these gems and teachings are given to you that your mind eventually reaches a point that is connected to God all the time. And you completely free yourself of all these narrowness of the mind and destructive things that is plaguing human life. And we can see our Earth needs these things, this vision. Earth needs to understand these, you know, gems, and eventually if we get, you know, 10% of humanity join us, we are strong enough to change the, you know, tide to the God's way. What's your diet? What's your environment? Another thing, who you are dealing with, who are your friends and people that you associate with. You know, try to bring them to this consciousness. But don't let them take you where you used to be, okay, or where they are at. Okay? If you can take them to where you are, and they can take you where they are, avoid this situation. Okay? Go somewhere to a new environment that supports you, create the comings of life, okay, wherever you are. So after what, you attract the same kind of a consciousness. Okay? Otherwise, you know, you're going to move to the consciousness that is not as high as yours, and definitely you're going to drag it down to where they are. So all of these things, you have to become more observant, more watchful of your life, and that is where you are, what you need to associate with. You know, what the mission says, you know, follow the eternal divine path, creation, coming to life. So all of them are going to help you and do your meditation as given to you. If you have the universal mantra, meditate on the universal mantra. It's as powerful as any other mantra, you know. And if you have any initiative, meditate on the initiated mantra and go through the process. And to bring God to humanity. So it's a all-out awareness of your life and of yourself. Who you are, what your talents, what your weaknesses, what is your problems that you have to solve, where you are and the people you deal with. How can you handle them? How can we make the situation turn around and instead of going down the drain, you know, start going up? So it's that all comes with meditation and deep thinking and becoming compassionate, loving and understanding and love them as a spirit, as a beautiful beings they are, not as the shortcomings they have. Does that make sense? So it's another thing is the environment, of course. You know, we have to create comings of love, we have to create. Don't you feel God more here in the nation than if you go to out there somewhere?
divine is the main function.
Okay. Next question.
What can we do to stimulate the higher chakras?
You don't mean using crystals, for example. I knew someone who put crystals in his chakras at night, and just take them from his different chakras overnight, so the crystal would purify his chakras. But once he hurt himself, because he So you're not talking about those things.
No, more actions that we can
do. Okay, yeah, what you can do to stimulate all of the 33, you know, virtues? Fearlessness. Don't become one day not be fearless. Okay, because fearless doesn't mean, you know, not be wise and isn't the blade coming down from the machine and go, I'm fearless. I'm putting my hand under the blade and that doesn't mean fearlessness at all. You know, it reminds me of a disciple was listening to his teacher, and the teacher said, you know, look at everything as God, you know, just see God in everything, and don't let the lower thing bring you down. And he leaves the teacher, and he goes out, he says, look at the trees, oh, that's God. Look at the child, he was looking at the, you know, the mother, you know, carrying his child, and oh, that is God. And while he was blessed in the state of seeing everything is God, somebody, you know, yelled, mad elephant! And mad elephant, you know, go out of the way, you know, mad elephant. And mad elephant coming, he said, oh, that is God. And he just stood there, and mad elephant came and put his trunk around him and threw him to the bushes, and he got all bruised and broken and everything. So, he said, I'm not going to listen to this teacher anymore. He doesn't know what's talking about. Because he told me God is everything. Why did I get hurt? He's God is everything. So he didn't go to the teacher for a while, and eventually the teacher wanted to see him and said, what happened? You didn't come anymore to see me. He said, well, that was the story. You told me everything is God, and then this elephant did to me. And then he said, didn't you know the man was calling mad elephant? That was also God. You're going to hear too. That one. So, also bring wisdom to your teaching also. So one of the things, you know, you can do, follow the three rituals. One day, you know, try to see which one really, you know, some of the people here in the mission, they come one every day, and they practice it. Okay. Forgiveness. Today is the day of forgiveness. You know, if somebody did something that I didn't feel good about it, I feel bad for a while, but at the end I say, no, I'm going to forgive that person. Okay. I'm not going to let what they did to me affect me. I'm completely going to forgive them. Or, you know, be, you know, content. You know, try to, nothing affect you that day. Okay. Be in a very peaceful mind. This thing eventually is going to affect your chakra and overcome your worry. Another thing is recognize this that affecting your growth chakra. What kind of the food you eat, that what kind of environment again. So again, the whole thing probably is become more aware of your life, become more aware of the things that affect you in your life, and avoid those things and go towards less effect. I think you don't do a good nature, make you angry, make you not happy, make you depressed. So again, meditation, awareness of our life, you know, that makes us more and more go towards God and open the higher chakra and the higher self, and then follow the lower nature. And then at the same time, don't be attached to, am I in the higher self? Am I in the higher chakras? am I getting there? Did I make it or not? You know, just like, you know, Nanitama said, you know, just like put seed in the ground. Okay, and every day you go and pick it up and say, are you growing up? I'm sleep dying. After a while, that's going to wither away and never grows up. Okay. So just leave it there. And nurturing is, you know, by, you know, being aware, the thing affects that seed. You know, I just forget what we talked about this morning about the mustard seed, the smallest seed in the, you know, among seed. But really nurture it. You become aware of what affects you and take your faith away. Yeah. You have a faith and somebody come and make you forget about your faith. Avoid that. Okay. Bring that your seat back to place that it's a good, so solid, so it can go on. Okay. So again, you become more active. It's a battle. Okay. Actually, meditation in Sanskrit is called sadhana. Okay. Sadhana means struggle. And struggle means that you have to look at it, you have to be aware of it, you have to sometimes, you know, just like a split surgeon, you have to cut some things completely off, you know, of your life. There's a tumor in your body. It's a knife, and the surgeon cuts the body, it really hurts, doesn't it? You know, but at the end, what happens? You know about psychology, that's another thing, you know, study about psychology and you know how they affect you. Analyze your dreams, that's another thing. You know, when I was in college, you know, I took a book called Self-Analysis. One of the things was to take an obsessive, was to bear, okay, we have a dream. If you take up and write it down what the thing was, and then it was break it down to different sections, and I start analyzing, you know, why this dream is. Of course, you have three kinds of dreams. The dreams that mean nothing. You just take too much and then you bed, and it doesn't make any more. Dreams which is about our day to day life, that we try to give us a message that it will. Help us realize what we need. And the dreams from God, which is very strong and powerful, we can just shake it, we just kind of stay with it until you really understand what that dream meant. Yeah. It's a calling, something God is trying. Just like a dream of the Pharaoh, Egyptian, about the 7 years of plenty and 7 years of the drought. Well, he couldn't shake it, he couldn't just develop it. Okay. He had to call, you know, Joseph to interpret for him, you know, what that dream was. And then, you know, of course, you know, it's part of Joseph's dream to interpret that dream and bring the Hebrews to Egypt. So we can see our life is not disconnected, it's only individual life that we are connected to nothing. We are all connected to the universe, and God is very concerned with each of us. And this is a time that when I had that sleep vision when I was in Colorado Springs, God knows even the smallest fish in the ocean what it does. And you believe that? He even concerned for the smallest fish in the coral, in the summer. He knows exactly what he needs, how long he's going to live, and what kind of food he's going to eat today. So we are not alone and lonely, we think here, and you know, we are not connected to anything. So realize this thing, and again, become more aware of your environment, your food, your, you know, responsibility, and God, Word of God. What are the Word of God? Word of God is the happy trade coming from that based on the pure couple. What pure couple means? It's come that they marry with the intention of, you know, giving God, you know, the relationship. And then God choose two people together, you know, that's for life. When he said, in death we depart, God really means that.
Okay.
It doesn't mean this just stays together 6 months and then, you know, you go your way and I go my way. Strong marriage and having love and the whole community is based on the family. And from the family will become the base of the, and then creation of the, you know, kingdom of one another. So all these things should happen. Or probably there are 100,000 other things I can prepare you, you know, how it helps. But the more you become aware of mission, the more you become the word, the teaching, the more on the word of God, you know, you will, you know, go to the higher chakras and you become, you create wisdom, you create, you know, patience, you create, you know, ability to affect people around you and make them better people. And you become, and they teach you to become a better person too. It's not a one way street, it's two way street. You teach them and they teach you.
Can you please explain the path of knowledge, karma, and devotion, and what one should do when a path is selected?
Alright, well, in general, according to the Hindu philosophy, there are three paths for an aspirant. The path of devotion. Okay. That means that's what Christ was said. Love your God with all your heart, mind, and spirit. That's the path of devotion. You just love God with all your heart. Okay. You don't care about all the philosophies about, you know, who created God and where it's going, you know, who was the first, who was the second, and you know, all these intellectual explanation about, you know, who God is, and person just loves God, you know, they sing about God and they praise God and they, you know, feel the ecstasy of being with Him and they can kill somebody. Yeah, so you have no idea why that happens, but you feel good. Don't you feel good when it happens?
Yes.
That's the energy of just, you know, being with God and okay, it just bubbles in you and I can control it and it's beautiful. That's have no explanation. They don't need explanation. They don't need intellectual, you know, ceremony or long, you know, talk with them. They just love God. That's it. That's the path of devotion. Shakti. But that's what the path of devotion is. They love God, just love God. And then, as I said, this path is very short. It's the shortest path. You don't need anything. You don't need a book, you don't need a scripture, you don't need anything. You just right there, you've got. But of course, it's very dangerous path at the same time. You know, because sometimes they don't feel God. You know, they're not with Him anymore. You know, they cannot connect it. Got all turned and they feel very depressed and unhappy and disconnected and miserable and all that. Does that happen to you too? That's good. Some people it happens. And then, so it's a, so when they fall from that, they have nothing to hold them. Because that's either they are with God or they're not with God. There's nothing remaining. So it is a fastest path to go to God and His God, and of course, you know that God exists and you are one with Him, and one with God. But at the same time, you know, you have to be connected all the time. The next path is the path of the karma. The karma is action. Okay? Person loves to do things. Okay? They like to serve God in every capacity they can. Okay? They look around and see, what can I do to improve God's, you know, situation, to improve the different conditions, center, you know, a lot of love is gone to it. You know, a lot of people put a lot of effort and energy and work into it, and they love to make this house the most beautiful, you know, place for God to manifest itself. So they love to do things, and they think, I haven't done anything, but God is doing it. So the path of the karma is to do things and realizing you are not the doer. God is the doer. What happens then? If the God is the doer, who am I with? One with. I'm one with God, isn't it?
So you can't sit back while you're doing it without getting to keep. I know what you're doing here. I'm sweeping this floor, you know. I'm better than this. I'm great guy, you know, with a lot of knowledge, all the knowledge about God, and you know, and they gave me this room and told me to sweep this floor. I don't have a man. But if you say no, this is the house of God, and God is trying to clean it and make it more beautiful, so it can manifest itself in a more great way. Then sweeping from what? From oneness with God, oneness with the Spirit. So that is the karma yoga, that's the path of action. And some people love that. They don't think God, they don't give bubbled up, wriggled up, or keep the energy or them. But then they do things, they say, yes, I'm doing something for God. God is doing it through me. I am one with them. Okay? So that's another way to feel the oneness with God. Okay? Now, if they fall, if they don't feel God anymore, they still have something external to look at. Okay? They can say, I sleep that low and I did such a good job. And I remember God did it through me. Why I'm not feeling God anymore, but I can see I did a good job here. Therefore, it's easier for them to go back and feel the Spirit of God, because they have some external manifestation of their action. So the path of karma is to realize what you want to do and love to do things for God, and feeling that you can come back there. After a while, you're not going to do it anymore. Actually, you know, in Indian philosophy, they say God is like a bird watching another bird. Okay? And as far as the other bird is doing things and eating and everything, he just watches, he's the observer. And he's just witness entity. Okay? But he enjoys watching that bird, enjoys that food. But the moment you say, no, I don't want it, I had enough of this life. I want it. You become the doer, and I just become the observer, then who's the enjoyer? You become the enjoyer, and God becomes the doer through you. Of course, then God comes through you and do things. Does he do bad, or make mistakes, or does he do a perfect job? God is perfect, isn't it? If he's quite perfect, and he's doing it through you, is he going to do a perfect job? Yeah, he's doing the perfect job. But if you're saying, oh, God is doing it through me, and you're not doing the perfect job, is God is doing through you? Still your ego is in the way. So then you offer them that he let God do through us, do the perfect job. So you cannot say, oh, I'm going to let God do it, but it wasn't perfect. Yeah, it was just in the present, in the dream. So, that's another path. The third path is path of knowledge. Some people love to know about God. Okay? They love to read books, to analyze it, to know. Okay? For example, you know, in the path of Jnana, it's an eightfold path in yoga, in Jnana yoga, that teaches you what each fold is and how each affects each other and how you can, you know, follow this way and that way, or if you follow this way, what happens. It's very intellectual, and a lot of people also love that one. Okay? And that's the way they can realize God and see how it works before them. So that is the path of knowledge. You want to know about God. You want to analyze the universe. You want to how he created the what is the spiritual progress, how his chakras affect you, how they work, what kind of tendencies they have. So the Shakti or the devotional person, he doesn't care too much about those hidden degree explanations, all these little things. The only thing is he loves God. That's all he needs to know. Okay? And the karma yoga, the only thing he has to do is to let God come through you. But the knowledge yoga, he has to analyze it, know it, read it, you know, discuss it, you know, even get frustrated because it's so hard to understand God intellectually, because beyond intellect, okay? I just say he has to analyze it, okay? And that is what, that is the hardest path and slowest path, probably, because, you know, you cannot analyze God with intellect and analyzing it, but by realizing it. So you have to go beyond, even para, become para means beyond, become para vibra. Vibra means intellect, para vibra means to go beyond. That's what you meditate. Sometimes you need to go, but you meditate to go beyond intellect to the feeling and oneness with God. And often, eventually, some people do reach a point in the path of knowledge and say, yeah, that makes sense. This thing that analyzed or studied that makes intellectually often sense. And in that case, the art teaching is very helpful actually to intellectual people. Very helpful because it teaches that God said He's going to do these things. And He did them. Intellectually, it's very easy to understand that because if the being said, I'm going to change, and he does it. Does he exist? Simple. Okay. You don't finish here. You can bug bubble, and you don't have that feeling of, you know, joy for him, you know. But intellectually, you say, where is he? Show me, you know, God. Here it is. He said he's going to do this thing, and he did it. Does he exist? See? The person says, oh yeah, I have no choice. I don't feel it, but intellectually you accept, oh yeah, he should exist because he said, you did it. Okay. It's very helpful to them at least accept that God exists. That's very hard for a lot of individuals to even admit that. That God exists because they want to analyze it. So that path is the path of knowledge, and it's the hardest path, it's the slowest path. But if you ever fall after, you know, your faith, you have so much knowledge accumulated, okay, that you have a very good solid ground to fall on, okay, and eventually go back, find your way back to God again, okay. But in the mission, we have got all these three paths, okay. That's why. Bhakti or the devotional things, singing, dancing, meditating, and sighting, and vicharvam. If you're devotional, that sang vicharvam, you know, this is inside you, you know, sings it, it's beautiful, it just puts you right to the very, you know, high state of, you know, devotion to God. And if you do kirtan or dancing, a lot of intellectuals have a hard time with that. They come here and some they start dancing and say, I don't want to dance. What is that? My hand out and put that on the board. But the devotional person just doing nothing is dance. Maybe go to bed again and get so into it, to jump around and get to their spirit and, you know, start talking in tongues. And so you can see that it's trying to break intellect to a more devotional state. If that intellectual really, you know, because of love of the other thing in the mission, even force themselves to do the kirtan, the kabbalah, you know, they eventually feel the energy and praise and say, oh wow, I never felt like that, you know, I never saw that beauty and energy that flows in me, okay? So there's a path of shakti or devotion, the devotional part of the mission. Path of karma. We have service, okay, and it's expected to give a fruit. What's that mean? You have to work to give a fruit, okay? You can't just sit there and meditate and say, oh, but my fruit is meditation. No, you have to write, you have to teach, you have to, you know, sometimes sweep the floor, you have to, you know, go to tours for the mission and spread the message, and all those things are all created in your website or whatever the mission is asking you guys to do, but who is doing it? Because that is when you say, oh, I'm tired of making this for the mission. And, oh, are you the doer? No, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't do that. You're right, God is doing it for me. but that means also God to them. So the muscle follows the path of karma. And that means then we manifest for the jiva in the manifestation. God manifests it to us. But if we think we manifest anything, what's going to happen? We're going to be attached to things and manifest in them. So, oh, look at me, I'm practicing, I'm doing so much good, I'm the person who's doing awesome work for you, rather than the media. And also, you expect, you know, something from me, that because you think you're doing it for me. You're not doing it for me. That's why I said to myself, I don't owe anybody anything. Because you're doing it for God. And I'm free also, you can. But you're doing it for God, I'm free, I can go on with your mission and do it, and we all are here to serve same purpose, and that is managed of the promise of life and the spirit of the mission. So that is the karma in the mission, the service, you know, and manifestation of the thing. The karma in the mission, the service, you know, and manifestation of the thing we have in the mission. Path of knowledge. So, it's the path of knowledge. You did go. You listen to the satsang. You do the satsang. Okay? Create knowledge about the mission. A lot has been given to you to see a lot of beautiful things has come to humanity through, you know, this mission that they can analyze it for the next couple of thousand years and still probably they realize more about it. Because it is so compact. Though I always said it, every word of though you can write one. You can just put one sentence of though and you can write many, many, many books like that. So you have a lot of material for intellectual also to read, to analyze, to see. So that's what our path is, path, a combined path of devotion, karma, and knowledge. Again, it should be everybody who wants a part of any path they want to follow, but at the same time, it's a more balanced between all of them together. So, we don't choose one path. Actually, if you're devotional, then we'd like you also to become a karmic yogi and a knowledgeable person at the same time. You are a knowledgeable person and you don't have devotion, he's going to bring you and make you dance Krishna. And listen to Sanjay Chadawa and take it some devotional. Okay, so you find, so you become a more balanced person. Yeah. Actually, if you study Hindu religion, it's somehow it's not that balanced because there are very devotional people exist there that they just love God and that's all they do. There are some karmic yogas that they do service and they normally God, and they're very intellectual, just like Jnana Yoga. Very set. That's the way. Step one, step two, step three. Okay? But art is again unified everything. That's another thing. Another thing. Yes. This path is not just Jnana or karma or Shakti. It's a path of combined balance.
Does it matter where my hands are when I meditate?
All right. There's the hand movement are called mudras. Mudras, have you heard that? Yeah. Mudras are the different position of the hand which is supposed to invoke a different kind of energy. Okay, in you. Okay. Actually, if you see the materials picture in our stationery, and making the thing is sitting in this position. It's called knowledge. Which is imparting the knowledge. And in the beginning of a meditation, it really doesn't make that much of a difference, probably. Some people say, put your hands apart, you know, the sickle, and some people put it down, or close the hand, or just open them. After you meditate for a while, you will feel, but putting your hands in different positions, you just feel a different kind of a feeling between the hands. So, does have an effect on you, you know, where you have conditioned raw, but after a while you can feel that today that could be something that you can use as well. So use the one that's more comfortable for you. And then after a while,